Welcome back to Ladies Elite from March 21st, 2010. This is episode 14, and this is the podcast where we talk all things video games. I'm Nicole.
I'm Kim.
And I'm Stephanie.
And today we are going to talk about God of War 3, Dante's Inferno on the PSP, a little bit of Final Fantasy 13, and Batman. Probably in a few other games, right, girls?
Oh, absolutely.
I think we got a full show today.
We do. But so, one is a star.
Yes,
we do have a star.
So really, everybody's talking about God of War 3 right now. I know I just finished it last night. Stephanie, I saw you were playing too. Did you finish it?
I did finish it. Yes, I did.
And Kim, have you had a chance to play it yet?
I have played it. I have not finished it, though. You guys are so much faster than I am. I swear you have all, every one of you have finished games way before I do. I think I'm just like slow.
I don't think so.
We have blocks of time, and I think your life just pulls you away.
Yeah.
You don't get the time we get.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm like a dog with a bone. I'm like, oh, I got to get done. Oh, I'm almost done.
That's exactly how I was like, oh, no, I'm going to finish.
I want to see the next guy.
Coming in saying, I'm hungry. What? Shut up. I'm playing God of War.
Exactly. Come on, Mom. Stop bashing Zeus in the face and make me dinner.
Exactly.
That's awesome. So, what are you guys thinking of the game? Stephanie, I know you finished it. Did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it. I was sad that it was over too fast.
It went fast.
Yeah.
I finished it in, I think, 8 hours, eight and a half.
Yeah, exactly. I started playing Friday night and played most of yesterday and then finished off the last fight this morning, so Sunday.
So where are you at, Kim? And do you have a particular god that you're fighting right now?
I just finished Hades, and so I'm up in the city now.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, but I'm having a lot of trouble with those stupid, I call them the booby birds. They're really
the harpies.
The harpies. I cannot jump from those. Those are so hard.
Well,
so,
here's the little tip. You only hit X once.
Yes.
That's it. And then when you want to drop off of them, you hit it again. That's all.
Oh, okay.
So two X's would definitely make you drop.
Yes.
That makes a lot of sense because I'm like mashing buttons all the time. I'm a button masher.
And that's a good point. So God of War 3 is a puzzle adventure game. If you've played Dante's Inferno, if you played Darksiders, if you've played any of the other God of War games. Get movie-licious.
Feels like a movie.
Yeah, it totally did. Speaking of movies, what did you think of that intro?
The intro, I loved it.
Holy crap, it was so cool. It was like watching a movie.
Exactly. It took you back through the first two games and explained the history of, you know, what's going on, and then literally picks up exactly where God of War 2 left off with the Titans ascending the side of Mount Olympus to take on Zeus.
Yeah, the graphics are wonderful.
The very first 10 minutes will just blow your mind. You're sitting there thinking, I've never seen this before. You know, you're fighting on the back of Gaia and across her hand, and, you know, it was, and the landscape is moving up and down, and it was amazing.
And your first boss that you fight is Poseidon. So here's my experience. Anytime I get a new game, I always try to play it on normal. Normal, except for wet. For some reason, I think when I played the demo, I knew that was going to be stupid controllers, so I went on easy mode, and thank goodness I did. So I went on, because with Dante's Inferno and Darksiders, I went on normal mode, didn't really have any problems. But with God of War 3... holy crud. The normal mode is not normal. I'll admit it. I'm going to admit it right now. I went on easy.
Hey, I did too. That's my standard operating procedure. When I get a game, I'll play it on easy to see if I like it, see if I even want to continue playing it. And once I finish it, I'll go back and play it on the harder levels, because obviously you unlock achievements too once you finish a level.
Well, so, shoot, I started on hard. Are you guys kidding?
No wonder you're still where you're at.
I started on easy. I'm an easy girl too.
Exactly. Well, and I'm here about enjoying the content. Yeah. That's what I'm here for.
Well, and the interesting thing about if you're playing on normal, the Poseidon boss is hard. Mm. I died so many times that it finally said, "Do you want to try easy?" I'm like, "Yes, yes, please, told you that. Please."
That's awesome.
So if you do start on normal, and I think that's initially when I first started playing the game, I was getting really frustrated with it because you think, "Oh, it's button masher. You're just gonna, you know, take your chains and hit the bad guys." No, it's not. You have to know where your block is. I mean, normal is really hard, it seems. Right. And now, here's my thought. They made it this hard because they do want you to replay this game. They made it this short because they want you to replay this game. Mm-hmm. There is stuff that isn't available until you beat the game. You find things off of the gods that you can't use until you beat the game.
Exactly.
So I was like, okay, well, that makes a little bit more sense that they're trying to like push you through the game very quickly on easy mode. So you kind of get the feel for it and learn all the different tricks. And then you're supposed to play it again.
Right.
On the harder levels. So I was digging the god fights. I was loving, and I loved all of the abilities that you gained because of it. And I love the fact that you didn't have to start from scratch, really, because like the wings are from the previous. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're just continuing.
Exactly. It's a straight continuation. Yeah. I loved, it's going to sound, you know, gruesome, but I did like the deaths of each of the gods. They were, they were horrendously gruesome in their own way, and but still entertaining.
So, and the two that I've gone through, their deaths match what they're a god of.
Right.
You know, so it really engrossed you in that god itself, which was really cool.
This is a very gruesome, if I had to, so I was talking to Veronica and she's like, have you fought the Cyclops yet? And I'm like,
yes.
And when I had talked to her, I hadn't yet. And so when I did, I'm like, oh, so that's what she was talking about.
Yeah.
Was
how about the centaurs when you get the centaurs?
Oh, yes. It's so gross.
And it's like spreading everywhere. And the guts.
This is a very, very mature game.
You're ripping heads off. You're ripping horns off.
I don't know about you, but there was a point in the game that it was so gross and so graphic that I turned away and I'm just like doing my butt. I'm like hitting the button as I'm like beating them up and I'm just like not looking because it was so gross to me.
I was just looking at other stuff. I was like standing around. I wasn't trying to concentrate on that stuff.
So this is my question. Kim, you haven't gotten to this place yet, but there is a mini game with Aphrodite.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So and this is why I don't understand it. And it involves sex. And why is it okay to show such gruesome things in a game and not even show something like a sexual act? Because they pan away, you know, they focus on the
absolutely
girls. I wonder
there's
if...
There's always been that double standard.
And I'm wondering if this game is different in, say, France or anywhere in Europe, or if it's just kind of this was the way it was made and this is how it is.
I think that kind of goes to... It's like TV shows.
Yeah.
Over in Europe, when I lived in Europe, the TV shows, the violence on the TV shows is minimal.
Mm-hmm.
But the sexual stuff is higher. I mean, mm-hmm. you see bare breast. You know, you see more overt mm-hmm. things over mm-hmm. there.
Bare breast a lot, yeah.
But over here, it's just the opposite. You see a lot of violence, but you don't see that sexual overtones and you don't see the bare breast and things like that. So I think mm-hmm. that's really where it comes from.
You do
from,
see a
you
lot
know?
Of boobies in this game.
Yeah, a lot.
This is what I want to know. Where do they get their shirts? Because
the lack of shirts.
Yeah, it's like they just have like the boob part cut out and it's like, what? Why are you even wearing a shirt?
Oh, yeah.
It's so funny.
Fredericks of Hollywood.
Apparently.
And you know what? I mean, this was written by a woman.
Oh, yeah, it was.
The sex scene was written by a woman. And I read an article or an interview with her. And she said that, you know, she wanted to make it so it wasn't a sex scene born from violence. Mm. Because there's so much violence in this game. I mean, mm-hmm. This is a violent game, mm-hmm. that, you know, when she wrote this, it had to be, you know, that passion had to come from something other than the violence.
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't know if you, Stephanie, did you play Dante's Inferno at all?
No.
Okay. So I think I played Dante's Inferno a little too close to this game, because it took me a while before it really wasn't until the very end of the game that I started really enjoying the game itself.
Really?
I think I might have played too many similar types of games before God of War 3.
I was thinking of Darksiders the whole time I was playing.
That too. I mean, Darksiders to Dante's Inferno to God of War 3, and it almost diluted the awesomeness of God of War 3 for me.
Yeah, I can totally see that, because I was thinking, man, these stupid chests, you know, they're, mm-hmm. this is hard to open these. This is dumb.
Yeah, that was pretty glitchy.
But in Darksiders, it was really easy to open chests.
Very
you know,
easy.
So.
It's not easy. It's not easy.
He smashed his fist into them.
Right.
Yes. Well, I did not like that. That was the only thing about the game that I have not liked so far.
And it's funny because, so Darksiders was the easiest to open the chests. In Dante's Inferno, in my opinion, was the hardest, because you have to keep hitting the button over and over and over again.
And
God of War 3 is like, you hit R1, but sometimes R1 doesn't line up perfectly, and then you like try to open it and then it doesn't open, and then you try again and it doesn't.
Yeah, you have to be right in front of it. And you know, the one thing about this game that really surprised me is I don't like the lead character at all.
He is a jerk.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
He's a total jerk.
But he's the God of War. I mean,
he didn't start out that way, though.
That's true.
He started out, you know, normal, corrupted by Ares.
Did you ever try to, like, walk away from, you know, like, spare them? Did you?
You know, at one point when you're chasing Hermes to get his you know, little to kill him, boots. Essentially, there's one scene where you're jumping across a bridge, and then the bridge tilts, and then you're going vertically.
Yeah.
And there are people in your way. If you don't kill them, you'll never catch him.
Exactly.
And I was sitting at that point, that's when I was sitting there thinking, I don't care if this guy does get to his revenge, because he's being a total jerk. He's killing people left and right with no disregard, with no regard for whether they're innocent or not, whether they have any purpose in his quest for vengeance, which is well past where the point we're at right now. I mean, he's just a death machine, is essentially what
exactly.
he is. And I wasn't
one purpose.
By the time I got to the end, I really wasn't buying that all of a sudden he had a change of heart.
I kind of felt the same way.
I was like, this is a little too easy.
Yeah, because he's
so. Did you guys went through this game pretty quickly?
Yeah.
Did you think it was? It went too fast, or is it just because you think that there's that replay value that they made it go so fast?
I'm glad it went fast, because the story, it shouldn't be drawn now. I mean, this is the third game. It shouldn't be.
Right.
So, I mean, the story itself is a very long story. So I thought it was good. I thought it was a nice amount of time for gameplay. And when you do beat it, then you unlock all these challenge modes. So you can go in and, you know, break 30 vases in, I don't know, 20 seconds or whatever. Stupid stuff. I was like, I'm not doing this.
But when I compare it to Darksiders, one of the things that was a real stumbling block for me in Darksiders was the gimmick fights. The fight with Tiamat, which is still a pain in my butt. The fact that to even defeat this boss, I have to perfect that. You know, charge up the weapon, hit the fire, hit the ball that's stuck to her. Well, first you have to get it stuck to her, and then you have to do charge the weapon, hit the fire, hit the thing.
Right.
While she's moving,
there's always a trick to those.
Yeah, there were trick fights, and there was none of that in these boss fights. Not even up to Zeus. It was straight fighting.
Pure, just raw
grappling. That was butt. Like the key one was grapple them to you, kick their butt, blah 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 blah, yeah. Dodge the and then win, rinse and repeat. That was it. So
did you use did you use any particular thing to get, like, for instance, there's a bunch of achievements. Mm-hmm. So, like, for instance, if you use the bow in fire mode and light 100 enemies on fire, you get an achievement. Did you do
any
of that?
I hardly used the bow until the very end when I was fighting Zeus. Just because I was trying to avoid him. His stupid lightning. I was like, okay, I'm just going to hit you with the bow from the distance and blah, blah, blah.
I was using them all. I was doing a whole bunch of combos. So, like, I was using Hermes boots to, like, you know, rush him and then the fire. And then I knock him down and then I shoot him with the bow. And then I take the the head. Who was the head?
The head was Helios.
Helios. And and you get an achievement there, too, yes. If you blind, I think, 100 enemies. And
oh, my God. Okay, can I just talk about the Kronos fight for a second and grossness? That was gross.
Yeah, that was gross. Yeah.
That was a whole other level of grossness. Yeah.
But wow, I haven't even got to that part, and I'm like,
you have so much to look forward to.
Do I want to get to that part?
We're just going to say it starts with the cutting a pus-filled abscess. Moves on to pulling a fingernail.
Drove me nuts. I was like,
yeah, that was, oh,
and okay, let me I bet you anything you just have to push the O button or the circle button. I hate those things where it makes
you bring up a good point, Kim. So The one thing that I did notice is different between 2 and 3 is the placement of the action buttons, for instance. Yeah. So we have a fairly large TV, over 60 inches. Woo! So here's the problem.
Fairly large.
But here, at that point.
Here's the problem with playing this game on a very large TV. They have put, like, the X button at the bottom, triangle at the top, and then the circle on the side and the square on the side. So as you're focused on the middle, it's really hard to see the...
You have to have good peripheral vision.
Oh my God, it's ridiculous.
What's that all the way over there? So, I believe that's my circle button.
But I did like that because it was on certain fights, I was like, ooh, okay. So that helped. But when you played the musical...
Oh my God.
So there's a part in the game where you have to be really, really good at the X square circle triangle bull crap. And
I think it's kind of stupid.
I don't
you know, memorize where the, you know, I know the combination. Mm-hmm. I get used to the combination, but I don't memorize that this is an X and this is a square.
You're going to have to. And it's going to get even harder because they're not just going to focus on the single. You also have to do a combo, which means you have to use your thumb to press both the X and the square at the same time, or the circle and the triangle at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, immediately, what you're trying to do is a musical song, a melody.
Yep.
And that's what it has to
do. And honestly, the music screwed me up.
Yeah.
Because I was like making my own tempo in my head. I was like, damn it.
And then tell me that little section at the end, what they called the fear section, tell me that didn't feel like Max Payne. I felt like
I
was
playing I've never played Max Payne. I was loving that part of the game, though.
There's this weird thing where, I mean, again, it's that, you know, your protagonist lost his wife and baby. Mm. And he's literally in all black, following a path of blood, listening to his child cry. Tell me that wasn't exactly like the Max Payne. It was.
The interesting thing about this game, too. I didn't play Max Payne, so I can't reference that. Sorry. I'm sure it is. I trust you.
Yeah, it really did feel like
that. So that particular skin you get to play after you beat the game. Yeah. So you can so one of the things that I got for pre-ordering the game from GameStop was a exclusive Phantom of Chaos character skin. So I registered the code. I haven't gotten my skin yet, but you can't use these until you beat the game. Again, why you want to play it on easy mode so you can get to play all the cool stuff that actually is the game. So the only negative thing about using the items that you find and the skins is once you enable those, none of the trophies are available. So it turns off the whole trophy system. Eh.
That's cool. Well, I mean, you've beat it already once by the time you're using those. So
Yeah.
All right. Now, here's the other thing that I really liked was the how about the voice work?
That's what I was just about to talk about.
That was so awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Who did you recognize first?
Well,
I didn't recognize anyone.
Hercules.
Yes, Kevin Sorbo.
Oh, was that Kevin Sorbo? Hercules.
That was him.
Yes. Malcolm McDonald.
That is now I want to play it just to hear it.
Malcolm McDonald was a Daedalus, the guy suspended by the chains in the labyrinth, which I hated, the labyrinth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the labyrinth.
And it's my favorite was Rip Torn as the master blacksmith, Hephaestus.
I think it was Aphrodite's
husband. I really like that character. He's like, screw you. I don't care. I'm ancient. I'm stuck in this hole.
He had that really raspy, gravelly voice that as soon as I heard it, I knew who it was.
I think the best thing of this thing, the best thing of the game is got to be the graphics. I mean, holy crap. Oh,
yeah. You know what? When you do that first, when you're in Gaia's body and you go in between those two rocks and you get really, really close.
Yeah.
That was awesome. So I loved it. Well, I think
stunning.
It's an amazing game.
It is.
If you haven't had a chance to play it, it's mature. So just know that.
Okay. So I went and bought it at GameStop and the little 19-year-old girl behind the counter's like, this is mature.
What?
Yeah, I'm a little mature myself, so that's okay.
Oh, Lord.
I'm seriously.
I'm
42 years old. I think I can handle a little blood and guts.
Oh, my goodness.
That's too funny. Like, she thought she was saving you.
Well, she probably thought I was getting it for my kid, but I said, no, that's for me. And she's like, okay.
So, well, I guess we can move on.
I have one last thing.
Sure.
Okay, so one of the things that you unlock is videos that are making of the game.
Yeah.
And so the one that I watched because I was most interested in was the voice work. So they actually showed their recording sessions with the guy who does the voice of Kratos. And
does he look like Kratos?
No.
Okay. Because I've been noticing a trend where, like, for instance, in Heavy Rain, the actors look like the people in the game. Like, they mimic their character after the actors playing the voice.
Uncharted 2
was like that.
I think they did it for the girls, and they did a little bit for Rip Torn, but not for Malcolm McDowell and not for the guy who did the voice of Kratos.
They were
capturing facial expressions while they were doing the recording of the voice. Cool. So that was pretty interesting. But here was my favorite quote, and this is just for people who are in AIE. The lead creator of this game's first name is Stig. And they actually said the quote, "If Stig is happy, we're happy."
Oh, that's good.
Just like AIE.
Fantastic, exactly. If Stig is happy, we're happy.
Very cool.
Oh, we're going to have to use that one. We're going to have to use that one on him.
Get a recording.
So did we talk about the bugginess of the double jumps, too?
I had a lot of problems with that.
I did, too. Yeah,
I must have died like 10 times trying to hit one platform.
Earlier on in the game, because you would do a double jump and then you just fall. And then because there were times, one of the things that you do is you go and you use the chain to go between two areas, and you're using just your control to kind of dodge things. And I'm thinking, okay, he's flying. Why can't I do this? He's flying all over the place in these cutscenes. But why can't I just jump from one place to another without dying?
Yeah, at one point launches himself like the full length of the chain when, yep. where in fact I can only go like 10 feet.
Exactly. I didn't have any problem with the double jumps, but and this may be because I'm a total button masher. I mash and mash and mash and mash button.
You're not hitting it twice, you're hitting it like five times.
Yeah, that's why I'm having so much trouble with the booby birds is because, you know, I hit X like 14 times.
Yeah.
Right, and that will definitely drop you.
And, yeah, and maybe that's why, maybe it's a playing difference and we either got to come to a middle ground there.
So I had a chance to play Dante's Inferno on the PSP. And I was curious because I thought it would be like, I don't know what I thought. I didn't think it would be the same game, but it's the exact same game. They just put it on a PSP.
And so, how do you control it? I mean,
it's the same. I mean, it translates beautifully. In fact, I'm going to send my PS3 version back and play Dante's Inferno on the PSP just because it'll be great for the plane and
For your travel.
Yeah, totally. The graphics are still good and it's the same Dante's Inferno. I confirm there's still boobs in it. So, so I thought, well, maybe it was a light version of Dante's Inferno, but it's not. It's the exact same. And I have to say, it's a little bit harder too. And it might just be because of the controls are a little different. Not completely, but a little different. So,
and the cost is a little cheaper.
Yeah. It's only like $30.
Yeah.
$34, I think, for the PSP, versus what, $59 for the PS3. And it's the exact same game. So, I would recommend, if you're interested in Dante's Inferno, you want to at least see what it's about, and you have a PSP, check it out. So, especially since I'm done with God of War 3 now, I think I'm going to go back to some of these other games that I've kind of not really been playing because I've been holding off for God of War 3. So, speaking of games that I've held off on and finally got to play, I wanted to just say I finished Batman Arkham Asylum. And it was freaking awesome.
You finished it too?
It is awesome.
You guys amazed me. You totally amazed me. I finished Mass Effect 2 and I finished Heavy Rain, but I have not finished a game since then. You know, I mean, I never finish games.
But Batman is such a great game. In fact, it just won. It won best game, I think it was, from the BAFTA Video Game Awards, which is a UK, and this is for Terpster. So apparently it won
a norm. BAFTA is like the equivalent of our Oscars, isn't
it? That's what I thought too. And that's when I saw it, because that's what Terpster said. And I'm like, well, I guess they do video games too.
Wow, so, we should do that over here. Yeah. They're a lot cooler over there in the UK.
So, I finished Batman. I cannot wait. I'm now with everybody else. I can't wait for the second one. I just loved that game. The boss fights, the stories. I think what I loved most about it was collecting everyone's profiles and reading about each one of them and all the audio recordings. I even hunted down all of the Riddler trophies, which there's a ton. I mean, it got to the point where I was like, why? It's 2 a.m. Why am I doing this? But it was like, I'm so close. I'm doing it.
Platform did you play on?
I played it on PS3. Yeah. So I just wanted to bring that up because it's probably you could get it at GameStop. Probably pretty cheap. It's been out for a really long time, but this is the kind of game that if you haven't had a chance to play it, go get it, play it. It's great. So
yeah, I had just played the demo, which I thought was cool, but I wasn't entirely sold on actually getting the game.
Right. Yeah. Really? I mean, I loved it.
I have a free code for this. I have a free code for this that the Doghouse guys gave me. So I should get it. It'll be on my PC. Yeah.
Oh yeah, totally.
Since it's free, I should play it.
Yeah, definitely.
I won't finish it, but I'll play it.
You know what? I would be curious if you start playing it, because at first I thought, oh, I'll just play it to see what it's about. No, once I started playing it, I'm like, I gotta finish this. I wanna see how it ends. I loved the story. I loved how all of the bad guys were integrated into the story. It is my favorite superhero video game.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. That's awesome.
Because historically, they're not, superhero games aren't the greatest, you know?
True. Yeah, that is true. That is true.
But this one is.
They need to make an Aquaman video game.
I'm sure they will. Are they supposed to come out with a movie?
Come, COD, protect me.
The angelfish are my friends.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So another game that just recently came out that I don't think any of us are playing right now is Final Fantasy 13, right?
No,
I'm not playing it
either. In fact,
either.
I know me and Stephanie haven't played any of them, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of puts people like Kim and myself off where, mm-hmm. okay, you're up to the 13th version of this game.
Right.
If you've never played 1 second of it, are you going to even be interested in what's going on with these people? I mean, is it a continuation? Is it always new people?
Typically, historically, every Final Fantasy is its own story. So do you remember the movie that came out a few years back?
Yes.
I mean, that was its own, you know, that it's like kind of like what is it? I'm going to relate it to the NCIs. They all have kind of their own thing going.
Oh, I see, right?
Or Law and Order, right? Law and Order, SVU, you know. So
they're similar, but
and I know somebody out there who's totally into Final Fantasy will probably correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure there has only been one time where they've revisited a story in the Final Fantasy series. I think so. I've only played from. It's been a really long time. I played Final Fantasy III, and I started to play another one, but I think Mark was, I was with Mark at the time, and he started playing it. So I gave up, and I just ended up watching him play it. Because at the time, we didn't have two consoles. And when you play games and you're a couple, one person typically will take over the game.
Right.
You know, and the other one's like, well, I don't want to play it. I've already seen most of it.
Right.
So Mark is playing Final Fantasy 13, and we were going to have him on the show today to talk a little bit about it, but he's working right now. But from what I understand from what Mark tells me, it's its own standalone story. I've been watching him play it, and it's really kind of a fun story. Also, he's saying that the gameplay itself is, I think, simpler than it has been in the past. So I think the barrier to entry for new players is better. But he did make a comment that if you're a kind of a hardcore Final Fantasy fan, you may not like how they've changed up the gameplay itself. So if you are interested in Final Fantasy or getting into the Final Fantasy, I think this is a really good one to go in, and the graphics are amazing. Historically, when I played Final Fantasy, you would be walking around in a world and you would just get attacked, and it always startled me. I mean, it was like, and it would make this noise, and you're like, okay, I gotta get ready to fight. In this one, it's not that way. So you can actually see the monsters, and then you can either engage them or you can go around and try to surprise and get the first attack, which is always important in a lot of times when you're fighting. The other thing that Mark said was a major difference is in the prior Final Fantasy games, you controlled all of your characters. So a lot of times you're playing this main character and you're picking up people along the way. And as you fight, you can control what spells or what actions they do. It's not that way in this one. And that's where kind of getting into the simplification of how they're fighting. So you have this stance, and Mark described it in kind of like how in WoW you have certain trees. So like for Pallies, it's protection or healing or retribution. And you can set these stance for the players, and they will do certain things. So like if you're fighting a boss and you're getting your butt kicked, you can set the other player's stances to be like healing. So it's more offensive.
Oh, right.
So there's like different things like that. And he was showing me the tree and I was like, well, of how you distribute different time. I'm like, whoa, it's like, it looks like a universe and it's like, you go over here and I'm like, wow. So like any game, if you kind of start from the beginning and you build up to the more complicated, a new person looking at the later versions going, how would I ever do any of that? It's because mm-hmm. you didn't start from the beginning to have the game kind of train you to that point. But it is a very, very complex game. So, but it's beautiful. I mean,
you know, what has never appealed to me is like the anime feel of it. I'm mm-hmm. not an anime person.
Then you probably wouldn't.
And that's always what has really turned me. That's why I've never picked up one, is just because of the anime feel. It's really heavy anime. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of cutscenes. Mark was even telling me there was a point where he had saved his game and he didn't do any gameplay because it was all cutscenes.
Oh my Lord.
Until his next save point. I mean, it's like you're playing quote unquote a movie. And so if you're not really into anime, you may not like this game. There's some funny stuff. For instance, one of the main characters that you play, you actually don't play one main character. You play a bunch of different characters and they all kind of have their little missions that they're going on. So there's this one character that Mark was telling me about. He is he's a black guy with an afro with a little bird living in the afro.
Oh my Lord.
And it reminds me of Family Guy.
Oh my God, that's right.
Yeah, totally.
Living in his beard.
Yes. So Mark was saying, dude, you know,
pooping in his hair.
He's like, that would be gross. Could you imagine that bird living in that guy's hair? The pooping.
Yes, gross.
So, but yeah. So
that's funny. That's the first thing we all thought of was
Family Guy.
Yep. Hair. Ooh.
In his beard. Yeah. So yeah, and Kim, you found there was a special edition of the Xbox 360 for Final Fantasy 13.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I wasn't able to tell if it was had special painting or, you know, it was a special one. It may just have a special cover on it for Final mm-hmm. Fantasy 13, but it's for $400 and you get some extra things with it. I don't remember all what came with it, but I think a mic came with it, the game, of course. It was the larger hard drive. Mm-hmm. So it was all a lot more stuff packaged together for $400, which is more expensive than the normal ones, so... But if you like Final Fantasy, you know, it's probably something. I know my son has the Halo version of the Xbox.
Yeah. And Stephanie, do you typically like anime?
It depends on the anime.
I was going to say, you might like, I mean, did you like the movie? Did you like the Final Fantasy movie?
Yeah, I liked the movie.
I would at least give it a rent and see if you like it. I mean, I will warn you.
I think
I've heard... There's been people, I mean, it's a lot of gameplay. I mean, someone said that they were, 71 hours into it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. I mean,
wow.
Historically, these games are very, very long.
Yeah, that's not the game for me,
then.
You
get your bang for your buck, that is for sure, with these Final Fantasy games. So, let's see. Oh, there was one thing that I meant to ask you guys from the last time we talked when Terpster, but Terpster, being Terpster, we talked about other things. But I meant to ask you on the Heavy Rain game, there was a long install period to this game. And I thought it was interesting to try to distract you from the amount of time it took to install that game. They gave you a task of making an origami paper thing. And
like,
I was wondering if you
like a little sheet of paper and
yeah.
stuff.
So you go get a piece of paper and then you go through step by step making the origami. I guess it's a bird, maybe. I don't know.
Whatever. Yeah,
the
swan.
Yeah. It's on the cover of the game. So you actually go through and I was like, this is kind of interesting. And I did it. And I was like, oh, look, I made an origami.
Did you make it?
I did.
Yeah, I tried. I couldn't get it. I was like,
you couldn't follow the pictures.
And I kept. Oh, that sounds so bad now.
I am sorry.
But I kept going back and I'm like, what am I doing wrong here? And then finally I'm like, screw it. I'm going to go get a Coke or something.
Yeah. It really did take a long time to install the game.
It did. But you know what? Okay. Going back to God of War, first thing that came to me is no downloadable content. Mm-hmm. No patch. You did not have to patch it off the bat.
They waited long enough. They better not have.
Thank you.
Yeah, I always love it when games do that. It's like, yay, nothing after. So let's move on to we have a long show today. We have a few things in internet news and buzz. Specifically, was it last week? The gaming developers conference, the GDC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. After. Yeah. Largest one ever, they said. Really? There was 18,205 people versus the 17,000 from last year. I think that's saying something, especially when conferences are not being attended like they were in the past. So
absolutely.
That's
I think.
Is there a bird chiming
that's
in?
That's my dog. I apologize.
That sounds like a bird. That's what I was thinking. I'm like, who has a bird?
Their squishy toy.
Oh, squishy toy.
Nice.
So, here's the thing. I mean, because I'm not a game developer, this isn't necessarily something that I would ever attend, but it seemed like there was a lot more buzz about it this year, kind of like E3 or so. I don't know. And I was listening, the Gamer Girls podcast, I was listening to them, and they were talking about, I think it was Corey. No. Anyway, I'm sorry. She's probably like, if she listens, that's not my name.
She's not my name.
But anyway, she was talking, she went to the conference, and she was saying that she actually saw booth babes for the first time, and she was kind of like, no, this isn't about that. It's about us as programmers, developers of games.
Seems odd at a developers conference that you have booth babes.
That's
wild. Yeah. Well, some of the things that came out of it, MySpace, so if you think about GDC, it is about the developers, you know, it's where developers come together and talk about things, but they do have some launches and some news that comes out of it. MySpace launches a games dashboard, kind of like MySpace, mm-hmm. which I think is, I guess.
That's interesting.
Well, obviously they're losing subscribers.
Because
Facebook is obviously, exploded. Yeah, and that's true. It's losing people.
I don't know who.
They want to keep people.
I mean, I have a MySpace account, but I don't know the last time I went to it.
I have neither a Facebook nor a MySpace. Really? So I am one of those people who does not play Farmville.
That's okay.
Well,
I don't hold that against you.
Won the best social online game there.
Really?
I'm not surprised, considering the sheer number.
This thing is huge. I mean, I know so many people who play it. I mean, it's crazy. Dr. Phil actually has a show that, he's taping his upcoming shows for the next season or whatever. One of them is he's talking to a mother who's addicted to Farmville.
What?
Yes.
I've never heard many stories. About that.
Oh,
I have to harvest my strawberries. Like, what? What?
Did you happen to see, so when we talk about gameplay and kind of the whole, being addicted and things like that, did you happen to see that TED Talk that Jane McGonigal, I put a blog post on Ladies of Lead about her talking about how gameplay and people in general who play games, how many hours they spend, and kind of her thoughts on saving the world through gameplay. Did you happen to see that?
Yeah. No. I
thought that was fascinating.
It was very fascinating.
I love
Did
that.
You go and, you signed up for Evoke. That's the game. I didn't get it. I got it, but it seemed that you really had to think. You had to think a lot. And I'm like, I just don't have that kind of effort. At the end of the day, I am so tired from just my normal job that I really don't want to think anymore. I just want to let my, you know, I want to relax.
Well, and I think that's what, you know, the organization she's involved with is kind of, the Evoke is just the latest type of game that they've come up with, but they've done games in the past where she was talking about, I think it was in 2007, A World Without Oil, and How Would You Live, and almost look at it as, okay, this is the game, and this is what you need to do in order to survive this game, and kind of challenging people's thoughts through a game versus it actually happening. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you. I tried Evoke, and I felt kind of, it felt fractured, maybe.
Yeah.
Like I didn't really understand what I needed to do.
Yeah. I think that's where I was too. I tried to do it, but then I was going to have to put more thought into it and to figure it out. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to do
this. I felt like
right
I let her down.
Like, I did too. I really did too.
I did too. I mean, I love the idea. I love what she's doing. I love the positive message that she's sending about gameplay and utilizing that energy that we're, you know, in the example she gives is World of Warcraft. I mean, we come together in that game. There's, you know, 10 of us, 25 of us all working together to achieve a specific goal. Mm-hmm. And how cool, you're learning those skills that you can then translate to real life. And she said something that I totally agreed with in her talk. And she said, when we play games with one another, we tend to then trust that person more. And I have to agree 100%. Mm-hmm. Like if I play a game with you, more likely I'm going to form a closer friendship with you through that, because that's the medium. And I don't know, there's something about playing a game with somebody.
I mean, think about, oh, go ahead, Stephanie. I think we're going to say the same thing.
Yeah. Playing a game exposes what someone values.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, do you value winning over the cooperation with the other people? Like when, let's say you reach your objective, are you going to be the one that takes the reward for yourself?
Right.
Or are you going to be the one that shares it with the rest of your group?
Right.
That's, you know, true. Are you a good winner? Are you a poor loser? Do you have a potty mouth when you lose?
Thank goodness for push to talk
very quickly when you're playing.
Yeah.
And it's how you go about in whatever your purpose is in the fight, or in Warcraft, let's say it's all about the fighting, but it's how you go about getting to that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are some people who all they want to do is that end goal is in their mind, versus other people who, you know, want to try to bring a group together and work as a team,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it does bring out those kind of personalities that you see. I mean, our raid group is incredibly close. And I mean, we're friends outside of our raid group, and none of us live, you know, near each other. We've just all become friends through World of Warcraft. I mean, and I've met some of the people. I go and visit some of the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do things outside of the game. So it really does build relationships.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think this whole kind of what we're talking about, the other article that I came across on Joystick was talking about another conference that actually was canceled. It was the Women in Games Conference. And while this is not such a big deal that it was canceled, what I wanted to talk about were all the terrible comments that came in after this post was done. And it was like some of the most negative,
mm-hmm.
hateful kinds of things being said. And yeah, I'm sure there was probably some of it was said in, you know, tongue in cheek, and you can't necessarily translate tone and things like that. But there was some things that was just like, what? Really? You think that about women in gaming? And I guess I'm being a little naive, because I've also heard talks about just women in general not being nice to one another in games. And I guess it all comes from the perspective of how you're playing and who you're playing with, but I don't know. I just, it's games. I don't necessarily want to put negative energy out there, and I just can't believe it. It makes me sad to know that people's experiences are much more different than mine. Say, even in Warcraft, for instance, it blows my mind.
Well, I was intrigued by two of the people who were commenting, and both of them were women.
Yeah.
And they were coming from two completely different perspectives. One was saying, I don't see a need for a separate conference for women. They should just be seen as developers.
Mm-hmm.
And this other woman came back and said, you don't think that there's things that women have to deal with, and you know, that men don't have to deal with, like sexual harassment, the fact that the, you know, we're outnumbered like 9-1,
probably
like 20-1.
Yeah, totally.
I was watching the credits. No lie. I was watching the credits of God of War 3 roll by, waiting to see the first female name.
Wow.
And I didn't see one until she was a production supervisor.
Wow.
None of the coders, none of the artists, none of the developers, none of the testers were women.
That's interesting.
But the writer was a woman.
Yeah.
Editor was a woman, you know, but none of the, and I think there is a need. But the one who said there wasn't a need was essentially saying that, you know, you have to be aggressive and you have to not fall into the emotional trap that men see, you know, in women who want to get into this, that they don't have the emotional backbone to take criticism and
that's not true. That's not true at all.
But that's this what
no,
she was saying.
But
you
have
to be strong, and the other one's saying, well,
but I do think though, like for instance, if I know that there is a playground that is completely male dominated and they're kind of jerks,
right?
I'm probably not going to go to that playground.
Exactly.
You know? Say Xbox Live.
Even if they have the best rides.
Right.
I think there is a need for this kind of thing, because not everyone, I mean, I think all three of us are strong women and strong in our career fields.
Right.
You know, we've all got to a certain point in our careers that, you know, we're not being stepped on all the time because we're strong. But I think there are a lot of women who aren't like that. And these kind of places and these kind of communities are needed to help women deal with being in a male-dominated world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
especially if you're trying to encourage women to be a part of it. Because I think it's important to have more women involved in building games. And again, going back to Jane, I just love her. I mean, I love her attitude. I love everything she brings, the energy. I mean, and if she hadn't been encouraged to go into gaming, you wouldn't have that kind of perspective. So,
and the way I look at it is, you know, I've been in the male dominated career fields since I started. I mean, my very first job out of high school, I was in the military. I was in a squadron of 80 guys, and there were 4 girls. And, you know, we're in a combat communications unit.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're out in the field with these guys, and you had to get pretty tough pretty quick.
Right.
And, you know, when you have women come in that have no experience with that, it's very difficult for them. And there's a good old boys club.
Yeah,
you know, there really is. And there's not anything really like that for the women. So making these kind of safe places, which I know sounds all touchy-feely and stuff, but well, I think it's important just for women to know that they have a place they can go.
Well, and I want women to band together too. I want us to encourage one another. One of the things that kind of made me sad was there was a Molly Berry over at Women of Warcraft. She sent out a tweet because she's now doing her shows, and she encouraged people to respond to her. And so I responded to her and I said, you know what I love about WoW is all of the wonderful girl gamers that I've met and just had a chance to play with. And the next one that I saw was, someone commenting how catty, what she hated about the game was how catty women are. And I can't remember the exact verge, but it's the exact opposite of what I said. And I was thinking, I'm like, wow, her experience is so much, it's the same game, but right. her experience is so much different than mine. Well, and is it us as women gamers that we don't necessarily, not all of us know how to play with one another yet.
Yes. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. That probably came from a younger girl, maybe fresh out of high school or near it, where, you know, high school is a very catty place. Yeah. My daughter is graduating this year, and it's a very, very catty place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so when that's your only point of reference, of course you're going to be thinking that way. You know, it's a, you know, kill or be killed type situation. Mm-hmm. Whereas we know we can work together because we've, you know, it's just experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that may be where some of those kind of comments are coming from.
What were you going to say, Stephanie?
I know we've also run across some women personally who exploit the fact mm-hmm. that there are so few women playing.
Yeah.
And they are not above playing the flirt game to get what they want.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it firsthand. And of course, you know, it turns my stomach and I want nothing to do with it.
But I only do that every once in a while.
Never ends well. So, Foss, can you make this for me? Yeah.
Well, for me, I try in game to treat other people like in life. I'd want to treat people in game how I want to be treated. So mm-hmm. if you make me something or if you do something for me, I consider that now I owe you I owe you a favor. I need to make you, you know, something in tailoring or enchanting or whatever. Right. You know, I have no problem with that whatsoever. And I don't know. I guess I look at that type of gameplay as these are real people that I'm interacting with. And would I want to be on the opposite end of me being a jerk? No, right. I wouldn't. You know, so I don't know. It's just maybe it's more of a maturity thing in some cases, but
it could just be lack of exposure too. Like, we have the advantage of being in the largest guild in the world.
True.
I've known smaller guilds where there are one, maybe two girls, and they do become queens of the realm.
Yeah, territorial, almost a little territorial.
Yeah,
that happens.
Like a new girl coming in,
and I don't want to see that either. If I was the only girl, so I was before coming to AIE, I was in a guild, and I was one of two, and I was like, more women, we need more women, you know. So, because it's like bonding and kind of you're.
It doesn't have to be a competition.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And that's what I really hope more and more women, as gameplay becomes more and more common with things like Farmville and all of that, again, all a game, you're not getting anything for it except some, you know, some pleasure and some fun and making some friends. Don't be jerks.
Exactly.
It's what it all boils down to. Don't be jerks.
Power.
And I got her name from Corey. So her name was Corey. So I don't know if she listens. If she is, I wanted to make sure I had her name right, because she seems pretty cool. Anyway, so let's move on. And one of the things, speaking of girl power, mm-hmm. Modern Warfare 2 is going to be coming out with some downloadable content, and I cannot wait.
Ooh, is it going to be like more maps?
More maps. Yep, more maps. And it's supposed to be coming out pretty soon. Release date is March 30th.
Nice.
So contains five maps, three new and two from previous games. So, and it doesn't say what games it was. I'm guessing probably the first Modern Warfare. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'm super excited about this because I would love to go back and play a little bit of Modern Warfare. It's been a while since I've played, but I think I left that game a little too fast because it's just awesome.
Well, but there's all, like you said, there's all kinds of new games coming out that y'all want to play.
Yeah. But you know what? I don't have anything on my list right now. So I'm probably going to revisit some games that I've missed because it feels like it was like we were being bombarded with awesome games, awesome games, awesome yes. games. So now I can go back to things like MAG, for instance, mm-hmm. which... Kim, you,
yes, we need to get together. We need to set up a team and do that. But yeah, cause a MAG DLC is coming out on the 25th and, it has like grenades and uniforms and new guns and things like that. I didn't see any new maps listed in mm-hmm. there, but also on March 25th, everyone who signs in that day, you get double XP from midnight to midnight. Oh. Yeah, so I thought that was actually kind of cool.
I think they've picked our day that we're going to play.
Yes, I think so. We may want to try it before that. Just to...
Look at so these noobs.
Everybody's going to be like, oh, yeah, those are girls.
How can you tell? My name's Nicole.
Yeah, really?
Oh, that's true. Molly.
Yeah. So,
gypsy girl.
Yeah, did I let that slip? Oops.
All right. So, and we missed a story a few weeks back about the new Rock Band Network. And I know, Kim, you play a lot of Rock Band. Mm-hmm.
I love Rock Band.
So I was curious because I didn't get all the details on it, and I heard like Jonathan Colton was on there, and you can now artists can actually submit their music to this, right?
Yeah, he already has some songs on there. Mm-hmm. Still Alive, Skullcrasher Mountain, Eat Your Brains, but he's just now added Code Monkey,
oh,
Creepy Doll, The Future Song, and IKEA. And really, the way it works is you join. The Rock Band Network, mm-hmm. and I think it's like $99 a year for a premium membership. And
is that for the artist?
That's for the artist.
Okay, but for the artist.
It's for the developers.
I was like, $99 bucks. I want to pay that.
I'll just play the games I have. Yeah.
But this isn't an easy thing to do either. I mean, they're saying for like a first-time user to go in and do this, it's going to take up to 40 hours to get a single song.
Oh, wow.
In the format that they need it. Because, you know, if you think about it, you've got to do all these tracks for the guitar, mm-hmm. for the bass, the drums, the, mm-hmm. the vocals. You have to get all that in there. And then it'll be pretty difficult for people to do that. There are some tools that you get for this $99 that will allow you to do this. And then there's actually some services out there now that I've seen. I did a little searching and you can go to this service and they'll do it all for you. If you're an artist, an independent artist and don't want to do this.
So once you get listed, then anybody that has Rock Band, whether it's Rock Band 2 or even, is it Rock
Band
1?
It's Rock Band 2.
Oh, it's only Rock Band 2.
Uh-huh.
And so if I have Rock Band 2, then I could go into the store and then download those songs, right?
Uh-huh. And the artist gets a percentage if it's not free. I mean, you can put it up there for free, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure how the pricing works, but the artist gets a percentage of every download. So you can go in there and get Jonathan Colton, which is awesome.
And if you don't know, if you're listening to this and you're like, who is this Jonathan Colton that we're talking about? Go to his website. He writes some great geeky music.
Yes.
Wonderful. Yep.
Have you ever been to one of his concerts?
Mm-mm. I don't think I have. I've been
last.
Yeah. He was at, I think it was the New Media Expo a few years back, and I had already bought tickets to go see Penn and Teller. So
I love
Penn and Teller. I do too. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Jonathan Colton or Penn and Teller. I'm like, oh.
Penn and Teller in Vegas, awesome.
Yeah.
Yes. I loved their show. And I got to be part of their show. It was so cool. We're sitting in the front row.
Oh, nice.
I got to be part of it. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It was Teller was like right there with me. I'm like, and I mean, Penn. And I'm like, can I touch you? But anyway, that's not gaming. But go and download his stuff. I mean, I'm kind of thinking that if you're listening to our show,
you
probably really know who Jonathan Colton is.
Yeah, hopefully. So another thing that I wanted to bring up, you may or may not have heard that there is a new documentary in the works about World of Warcraft called The Raid. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is it looks awesome. I just like, I like the viewpoint of the person making the movie. And one of the reasons why I wanted to bring it up is he's using a service called Kickstarter to raise funds, and he got all of his goal, which was $12,000. So his project is funded. So I'm assuming that the movie is going to be made. And what it is him exploring World of Warcraft and raiding and all of that. So I'll put a link in the show notes about it. But what I also wanted to talk about was this website, kickstart.com, is pretty awesome. I was on there and I was looking at other projects that people are looking to fund. And another one of the projects that I found was a guy raising money to build his dream video game. So he is he's a comic. He does comics. And he's partnering with a company called Pixel Jam. And I guess they specialize in kind of pixely type games, you know, like Code Monkey. You remember, do you ever see that cartoon? Mm-hmm. And so he's building his video game, and he's using this website to get funding to build the video game, which I thought was kind of fun. Again, I'll put links in the show notes for those. But it's just a neat way to kind of rally the troops together, I guess, to make some cool stuff happen. And I just had to mention it because it looks pretty cool.
That is a pretty cool site. I like that. And this raid, the video on there looks pretty cool.
Yeah. So, and he kind of, I saw this a while back, and he was talking about how he wanted to represent the true WoW community, like not kind of how we're portrayed now, I guess.
Well, what was the other movie that came out?
Monster Camp.
No.
Second Skin. There you go, Second Skin.
Which, yeah. I enjoyed it, but it did seem to...
There were parts of it that was like...
The darker side of it versus...
And I don't get the feeling... Yeah, and for this one, I don't get the feeling that's what he is going to focus on. I think... and that's what he even says. So, don't lie.
Yeah, really.
You better not lie.
No.
All right. So, one other thing that I just had to mention.
Yay. I'm so excited for this.
Is Fat Princess is going to be coming on the PSP.
Woohoo!
So there is a new Fat Princess called Fistful of Cake.
Which is an awesome title. That is so fun.
And if you had not have a chance to play Fat Princess on the PSN, definitely check it out. It is a fun game, and there's a whole single campaign to it, and then there's multiplayer where you can fight with other people, and it's just so darn cute. And the fact that they're going to put it on PSP and I can take it with me now, I'm just loving that. So
can you imagine, you know, being up on an airplane and using the Wi-Fi up there and playing Fat Princess? Would that not be amazing?
Be
I am
awesome.
So excited for that. And my husband has a PSP. I don't have a PSP. And he was going to sell it on eBay. And I'm like,
no.
I'll buy it from you, okay? He's like, what? He goes, I'll just take it. I'm like, okay.
So now you have a PSP.
That princess is coming out. That's the only thing I want it for.
Yeah,
I don't really want
April 27th, it's supposed to come out. So we got a little ways to wait, but. It'll be right around the corner before we know it.
Yeah, well, at a Nerdtacular, we'll get together and play.
Definitely. So, and then the other thing that I don't think we mentioned in last week's show, but since we have someone that plays solely on Mac, I know she's excited about it.
Yes.
Steam is going to be coming out for the Mac, yes?
Yes, they will start supporting Mac game downloads.
When is that supposed to happen? Or has it already happened?
They've been in the works for a while.
Okay.
It's just going to take a while because some games, they'll have to be ported to the Mac.
Right.
So, of course, you want to make sure that you get the port right.
Yeah, I would hope so.
But it'll be interesting.
If you have it on a Windows machine already and you port to a Mac, all your stuff will be carried over, which I thought was really cool.
That is cool.
They're making it easy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is nice. And Left 4 Dead, Team Fortress 2, Portal, Half-Life.
Yeah, those will be fantastic.
Those will be the first games, and then they'll port some more.
Very cool. Yep. Well, let's move on to, well, we already talked a little bit about World of Warcraft, but I know since we're kind of raiding together, we've been having some fun experiences lately in Warcraft and ICC. Yes.
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 Holy crap. Is that one boss hard or what?
Yeah, he's the stinker.
Yeah. So, Stephanie, have you gone past Seraphang in when you were on your, because you just ported, or you just transferred yours from Alliance to Horde.
Yes.
And I know you were doing ICC before that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I've you've gone past him?
Yeah.
And how are the bosses past Seraphang?
harder and harder.
Is, think of a mini Gloof from Naxx.
Uh-huh.
Dog that has the little zombies that does the decimate.
The chat.
Two of those guarding a hallway. Oh. And then are the next two bosses, Rotface and Festergut.
I hear Scott complaining about those guys.
Yes. Yes. Again, and they're all positioning fights. That seems to be the breakdown of ICC positioning.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the first fight. That's honestly, Barangar is very, it's all about positioning. If you stand in the fire, you're dead.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and that's what, you know, I hear so many people saying, oh, this is so easy and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, this is not easy. I mean, if you spent your time, you know, I mean, your world was raiding, it would be easy. Right. But for the more casual raider, these are not easy at all.
Well, what's interesting, Mark and I were just talking about this, the way that the dungeon system now works with the random dungeons and the pugging, Mark and I, when we were 70 and raiding at level 70, we never got to get into that later content, ever. Because we were so poorly geared, because we didn't have enough time to grind that stuff. And when we were on, it was always taking an hour to look for anyone to run something with us. I mean, there were quite a few dungeons I've never even seen, because the guild we were in at the time was so small. And again, we were talking about this earlier, they kind of had their group that they ran with, and that's what they ran. And that was fine. And if I got lucky that somebody didn't show up, then I would be part of that group. But it didn't happen often enough for me to get geared enough to run those later dungeons. The way that it's happening now with this dungeon, random dungeon finder, the game's changed, in my opinion, and it's making casual players become a lot better. Number one, they can at least grind that those badges to get tier gear, and I think, because honestly, Mark and I probably wouldn't even be in ICC with you have we had that dungeon finder not come out. I'm not even kidding.
Oh, I totally agree. I remember being back in Vanilla WoW, and I was so jealous of those people running Molten Core. I mean, I wanted to run that so bad, but I just did not have enough time to get geared up enough to do that. I mean, and back then it also took hours and hours and hours and hours, versus now, you know, you can set a time frame and kind of work it better.
Right.
But yeah, same thing. I never got on in Vanilla WoW, and if it weren't for that, I probably wouldn't be rating an ICC level either.
Yeah, which I'm happy for. I'm glad that I can see some of this later content.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's, I mean, that's, for me, the game is, yeah, I want to do the best I can possibly do and be a valuable asset to the team. But I also, kind of going back to the whole, like, I don't want to be a jerk either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have to find, I think, a balance. And you need to find a group of people that mesh well with your type of personality, your type of play. And that's how you play. That's how you play. And if that doesn't work for you, guess what? There are hundreds of thousands of players out there, millions of players that you can move to another server. You can move to another guild. You can do, now you can move to a whole nother faction.
Yep.
So,
exactly. You know, but there's so many people that, there's so much raid conflict. I think 90% of the conflict in WoW comes from raiding.
I think so too.
Seriously.
Without a doubt.
Horrible.
which and I don't understand, because it's silly.
I think so too. I've never had any conflict over raids, but you know, I'm also a different kind of player than, or we, I think all of us are a different kind of player than probably the hardcore raider. So I don't know.
You're not so elite.
Damn.
That's what I hear.
Where did we get this title from?
By the way, if you've if you've never listened to our podcast before, we kind of we made that name in a little bit of jest, and because if you look at the acronym, it's LOL. By the way, we love video. I mean, I love video games. So in my regular in real life with the group of people that I hang out with, I am lead. I'm leading my own mind.
I can kick any of their butts in video games because they're horrible.
Exactly.
Just horrible.
That's awesome.
Oh my gosh.
So,
well, and another thing I just wanted to mention was there's a lot of podcasts and blogs right now. Being at the old Azeroth, the Vanilla WoW.
Yeah.
I know that Gufoni and Azero, I think that's how you say his name, are doing like a postcards from the old world. And
each week
they're going to go and explore an area. And I know Alachia from World of Warcast is taking pictures on her blog.
We need to have her on here. She is definitely a lady of elite. She's awesome.
Yeah, we do need to have her. And there's like a Cataclysm bucket list. All the things you want to do before the world is destroyed. and I mean, I'm kind of sad about it.
Yeah.
I really am. I mean, I started a long time ago when it was just Vanilla WoW. And I started as Alliance, though. And, you know, Westfall, one of my favorite areas in the whole place. I love Westfall.
Really?
And I'm going to be really,
I loved Darkshore.
I do love
because it was also creepy.
Yeah, I love Darkshore too.
I was never a fan of that place.
Really? Yeah. I like
because it takes so long to get up there because I was never a fan.
There are, you know, you have, that's the place that you actually had to run and run and run. So you would collect as many quests as you could and get them finished before you had to run back to the damn town because it was a long, long run. Yeah. But
well,
yeah,
before the time of mounts for
right
20.
So yes, 40. Exact 20. I mean, yeah.
What were some of your favorite?
It's not easy now.
My favorite moment in old Vanilla WoW was when, so I too started as Alliance. My toon Neolodin was actually an Alliance player, Nikki Blade. And
Nikki Blade.
Yeah. So when I went through as a paladin for the epic writing,
because
you have to do some serious running around for that as a paladin.
Yeah. It's a lot of work.
For me, that was kind of one of my turning points of understanding that game because prior to that, I only played with Mark. It was just me and him running that whole game through, not interacting with anyone really.
Oh, that's a shame.
Well, you know, when I first went into the game, I remember being nervous. Like, oh my God, there's people in here.
Right.
Yeah, they're real people.
Yeah.
And it just took a little while for me to kind of get through that barrier of playing with others, you know? I didn't really know what to expect. You know, I had built it up in my mind that people were going to come up to me and be mean. So, well, you know, hey,
it happens.
These are valid thoughts that probably someone brand new to multiplayer would have, especially
a woman. Totally agree with you.
You know? So that's kind of, it was funny, but that series of quests, was when I first, we found our guild. We found some friends in there. I found another woman that played. You know, it was one of the first times that I really got into what the game truly could be for me. So that's my favorite.
Nice.
Yeah. How about you guys?
I've always had a soft spot for the Tauren starting area, the Mulgore.
Yeah, I like
because
that too.
It's beautiful. It's peaceful, and of course, I love the Tauren. But one of my other favorite places is up in Ashenvale. It's actually called Nightsong Woods. And it's where you know, you first experience how good the game can be at transitioning the areas, because you're going from, you know, the plains mm-hmm. of, you know, outside Orgrimmar to this lush forest that's all purple and green and the, you know, the home of the elves and all that hoo-ha. Mm-hmm. And it, I really enjoyed that the first time I ever stumbled across this. I was like, oh my God, this is so cool how they just blend the two areas together. Mm-hmm. And that's always been a soft spot for me.
How about you, Kim?
I'll be sad to see it go, but I'm really, really intrigued to see what changes are coming.
I do too. I can't wait.
You know, the two places that I'm really intrigued about is the Barrens and Desolace. I mean,
yes.
I am really excited to see what they do with those two areas. I mean, I hated the Barrens. I like Desolace because...
Oh, I hate Desolace.
Well, I'm from the desert. You know, I was born in the desert. I grew up in the desert.
That's so
great.
It's
like
not even...
It.
It's great.
I don't like the places with trees. I do not
oh, you don't?
Like
really?
Places with trees, yeah.
Oh, so you didn't like Feralas or...
I did not like those areas, no.
Goro Crater?
Actually, I like on Goro yeah. Crater. Yeah, because I think the trees are really the high there.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotcha.
I don't like the trees that are down low that, like, they get in your way.
Mm-hmm. The field of vision.
Yeah, I feel claustrophobic or something. I don't know. But I remember, because when I started, I played with my kid who was, what... 14 at the time. Mm-hmm. This is like 3 years ago. So, and I joined his guild. It was the Possies, but it was spelled P-O-S-S-Y. So
oh,
I'm like, honey, hey. That's like posies. I always call it the posies. And so most of the time I'm playing with these 14-year-old kids and they're like dragging me everywhere. And I'm in Westfall and he's dragging me through dead mines.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was actually a lot of fun. And then, okay, this is a really funny story. I have this friend at work, and I was like, I bet Doug plays WoW. He's a real nerd. And so I sent him an email, and I said, hey, do you play WoW? I said, I just started. And he wrote me back an email, and he said, yes, I do. And so I started walking across our building to his office, and he started walking across the building to my office, and we met like halfway, and we're like in the hallway talking about WoW and oh my God.
There is something about when you find out that someone you know in real life plays WoW. There's like an instant connection. It's yeah. amazing.
It is. But he was... This was way before Quest Helper. Quest Helper didn't exist back then, but he was like Quest Helper.
That's awesome.
He could sit there and look at our quest logs, organize it in his head, and we would take a pattern and go.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then turn them all in, and then he would know, oh, we have to go turn this in before we come back here because we're going to get another one. He just knows this stuff. So I'm like, wow. Without him, I was like wandering around. Oh. So it was awesome playing with him. He was, I'm sad. But yeah, so I think those are my best memories.
Cool.
And one other thing. Remember when the global looking for group came on?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. I remember that was the first time I learned Steve Irwin died was on.
Oh.
Oh my global goodness. Looking for group. Really? Yeah. I was like, this is where I'm getting my news. This is wild. Because I was playing crazy. And everyone starts talking about it in that because it turned into just a trade chat is what
yeah.
it did.
Yeah.
But it was worse than that. Because
I didn't like that because you always got interviewed, you know, because you were like, oh, like if you listed yourself and it's like, oh, what are you? Because it didn't really tell a lot of details. It just said what you were, you know, what your level was and. You couldn't really tell.
No, this was
well
before
that.
Oh, was that before that?
Well before that.
Oh.
This was just it was like a trade chat, but global.
Oh.
And so everyone used it just to be Barrens.
So it wasn't like the little eyeball that you...
No. This was just a global channel that it was horrible.
Oh,
horrible.
I turned that stuff off.
Yeah. Well, when I mean, when you're in a small group, that was the only way to find groups.
Right.
And it failed miserably. Oh, it was horrible. Mm. I mean, it was worse than when you had to go to the stupid stones and queue up at the stones to try to find a group. That never worked either.
That never was worked.
Oh, glad I missed some of the stuff.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad.
Looking for group has come such a long way. I mean, I like the way that they've done it now.
I love it.
It's
now.
Actually, yeah. You know, Hogger. Looking for group for Hogger.
All right. Well, let's move on to game release dates, because we're going to be here for a really long time if we don't.
Yeah.
So a couple of games that are going to be coming out on March 23rd, Just Cause 2 for the PC, Xbox 360, and PS3 is going to be coming out. That's an extra adventure. I've actually heard good things about this game. I haven't had a chance to play a demo or anything like that, but thought it was worth mentioning. And then another game that, honestly, I haven't heard until now, which you might have already heard about because it's currently in beta, is called Mortal Online. And this is an MMORPG. but I watched the video on it. And what's interesting is it's like a Sims MMORPG. And it's first person shooter type where you don't really see your character. It's all your crafting, and it's really anything goes, seriously. So you can build. It's if you haven't had a chance, I'll post the video on our site, but it's supposed to be released this month. I looked on the site, I don't see any official date, but it should be interesting. I mean, it's a fantasy world, but you can, from what I understand, you can craft items and do all kinds of different combinations. There's limitless possibilities for crafting, you know, weapons and armor and things like that. So it should be interesting. You can train pets. You can, yeah, it just looks different. Almost a little too big. But
wild.
It's an all-encompassing type of world where really there's no boundaries. There is no PvP zone. Apparently it's all PvP.
I just can't get into Just Cause, though. Do you guys know what Just Cause is?
I have not played Just Cause 1.
Well, actually, in real life, the Just Cause campaign was in Panama, where they took down Noriega.
Oh, okay.
And I was actually in that. I was supporting Just Cause when I was in the Air Force.
Really?
And I just can't, you know, I'm like, oh, why are they taking this and just making it a game, you know?
Gotcha.
Because this was, you know, fighting. And it was real to me because I was there.
Right.
And,
but you could say the same thing about the Call of Duty games.
Oh, well, true. And I guess this one, it's close to my heart because I was there.
Right.
So, and it has nothing to do with Panama, but it's still, I just can't, I'm like, no.
You feel like it's exploiting that, maybe?
Well, and just because I was, you know.
Like, really, I lived that. I don't need to play the game.
I was freaking held at gunpoint. I don't need that.
Oh my goodness. Were you really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, in the Air Force, you know.
Yeah, that's true. But
I was in Colombia and all kinds of Honduras and Dominican Republic. And, yeah, all kinds of places. So
we just learned that Kim's a badass.
Another story.
Yeah.
Don't mess with Kim.
I'm just a meat girl.
So do you think you might play this Mortal Online?
That sounds pretty. No.
No?
I won't. No. I don't have time for another.
That's true.
Exactly. Yeah, do I have time? No.
The market is so crowded right now.
It is. No.
All right. Well, moving on to games we probably can play, we're going to move on to bargain buys and iPhone games. I know both of you have something for us on those.
Oh, I have an iPhone game. It's called Across Age, and it's an RPG. And it kind of reminds me of like an anime Pokemon Zelda game.
Oh, really?
But what's really fascinating is the controls on it. It's like it's got like a little stick control and a button.
Huh.
So it feels like you're playing on a DS or something. I'll get you a screenshot of it, Nicole, so you can
cool.
see you can see it, or, you know, you can post it in the show notes. But it's kind of expensive, though. It was $5.99.
Mm. When we're talking about $59 games, $5.99 is cheap.
Well, very true. Yeah. That is very true.
Yeah.
In perspective here, it's not that much.
For an iPhone game, yeah, that is a little expensive.
I really like it. It reminds me a lot of the Zelda games, the old Zelda games.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah. So, you know, you're going along and it's all tiled. So you go along tile by tile. And I haven't got to smash any pots yet, though. That's the only thing. So, but, it's a fun game. It is $6.99, though. So it's not really a bargain.
They'll probably have a sale on or something.
I'm sure they will. Yeah. I'm sure they will. But it is fun so far. I've liked it.
Well, speaking of prices, and one of the things that we meant to talk about was one of the guys at, I guess it was the GDC, talking about how he's priced his iPhone game, right, Kim?
Yes.
Or Stephanie. No.
Yeah. So this guy, Tommy Reffins, I don't know, he wrote this really simple game called Zits and Giggles. That's really like skin with zits and you pop the zits.
Ew.
Yeah, that's gross. So he started out at 99 cents and he sold, you know, a little bit. Now, normally once sales taper off, you either lower the price or you change the game. Well, he decided to take the opposite and actually raise the price, and he raised it to $15. And a couple people actually bought it. Like, three people bought it at $15. So then
I want to know who these people are, because I have money to burn.
So then he decided he was going to do what he calls a social experiment. And every time it sold, he would raise the price rather than lowering the price.
Wow.
He sold it. He says eventually it reached $300.
That's amazing.
He says 14 people paid $300 for this game. Yeah, that was no different from the 99-cent game. Then he decided that he would go to GDC and badmouth Apple. He said that he hates the iPhone App Store. He thinks that he compared it to what was called the Tiger handheld gaming console of the 80s, where big-name games would be sold on the console, but the quality was crap.
Wow.
And that's what he said. And then, wouldn't you know, his game got pulled from the App Store.
Interesting.
That is amazing that 30 people paid.
But what I don't understand is he's bad-mouthing the company that's making him moolah. Exactly. You know what? I don't get that.
Exactly.
I guess I don't understand that part of the story. I love his social experiment, though, about raising the price, because it is...
I mean, but could you imagine, though, paying that much money for a game like that?
Zits and giggles.
I couldn't imagine paying that much for any game.
Yeah. Anything.
Any game.
Yeah. Me neither.
Not, yeah. I mean, God of War is incredible, but I would not pay $300 for it.
Heck no.
And that would be the game you would want to pay $300
for. Borderlands?
Yep.
Tons of fun and hours of fun. Not $300.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. It's kind of the opposite of bargain buys, but That definitely is interesting.
So that's an anti-bargain
buy.
Do not buy zits and skins.
You can't buy it now. Did you, Stephanie, did you have a game?
Yes, I download, because, like I said, I don't have Facebook, so I don't play Farmville, but there is an app called Zombie Farm.
Oh,
where
now that sounds like a fun game.
Yeah, it actually is. I'm trying it out. I'm enjoying it. There is a mix of planning, you know, vegetables and whatnot and having them grow, but then you can also plant zombies and have them grow and pop that out of the ground, and they become an army that you can send out to other farms.
Oh, like Army of Dead.
Yeah.
Death Knight.
So, I like it. I can't remember if it was $4.99 or $2.99, but I think it was $2.99.
That's really cool. That sounds fun.
So,
that
zombie farm fun stuff.
I'm going to have to play Farmville. I'm going to play it with zombies.
Yes, play it with zombies.
That's awesome.
So do you have to harvest your zombies?
Yes, you have to harvest the zombies.
That is so cool.
Exactly. And then they just kind of wander around the farm until you get enough of them to be an army, and then you send out to
That's awesome. I think I might have to download that.
Yeah, that's
all
good.
Right. So let's move on to emails and iTunes. So we have a few emails. We got, well, actually, this was more of a comment on the website, but I wanted to read it because it had a good question in there. So this is from Scott, and he says, love what you girls are doing here. I hope in the future when we start recording that there would be that we would be able to use some of our insights and ideas about our gaming experiences. Modcast is going to be a podcast that revolves around WoW add-ons, not just how cool they are, but I can't read today, and how useful. Gosh, I'm terrible at reading. it's all smushed together. So I'm like, we go through installings, walkthrough, and actual programming and tweaking and much more. I am collecting popular bloggers and podcasters' answers to his favorite question, which is, what is your favorite World of Warcraft mod and why? So Scott apparently is creating a new podcast, and I figure we would respond to his question on air because I know what my answer is.
Like a great podcast, yes. Too. I mean, very helpful podcast.
Think of like Patrick's old segment, right?
Yeah, on the exactly. Instance.
That's mod of the week.
Mod of the week. So my favorite, and I'm sure some healers out there are going to be like, "Why do you use that?" But this is what I originally learned on, and this is what's in my routine now, but I use Healbot.
Absolutely.
And I know there's a lot of healers that use Grid, and I've thought about giving Grid a chance, but I'm just so into my own workflow with Healbot that it just works.
Exactly. Use what works for you.
Yeah
so exactly.
For me,
and it's a great mod.
I
love Healbot. I just can't imagine before I got Healbot, I was not using any kind of mods whatsoever, and I was running Kara.
Wow!
Yes.
And
what made me get Healbot was Maiden, because as a paladin, you have to cleanse, and I did not know who needed to be cleansed. I mean, it's impossible to know who needs to be cleansed if you're not using anything.
Yeah.
So I went out and I'm like, what am I going to use? And I found Healbot and I set it to do this bong anytime anybody need to be cleansed. So nice. I'm like, quick on the trigger, ching, cleanse. So that is my favorite. I would be lost without it. So there you go. That's my favorite mod. What about you guys?
Well, we're talking besides the obvious, right? Like, you have to have Deadly Boss mods.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to have Omen.
Right.
Well,
I don't use Omen.
Well, it's all about threat generation.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Oh, I use it. Yeah. I have to.
Yeah, you're a hunter.
Screaming in my ear all the time, slow down. one mod I can't live without is Bartender.
Oh, really? Tried it, and I didn't like it.
Once you get it set up, you know, the way that it's helpful for you, it really cleans up your interface a lot. So I love Bartender. And another one I can't live without is Ratings Buster.
Which one's that?
Well, that lets you compare gear. Like, let's say a cloak drops.
Yeah.
All you have to do is hover over it with your mouse, and it will show you the difference between what you have equipped and what has just dropped. And it'll say, this is more mana, but less DPS, less hit, more of this, more hate.
The game does that. I do that all the time. There's a setting that I use.
But my this was well before that. So
just use it.
Yeah.
So before they put it in game.
Before they put it in the game. There's one for healing. There's one for DPS. And cool. Obviously there's one for tanks too. So
very cool. Yeah. How about you, Kim?
Well, I have for my UI, I'm going to say two of them. For my UI, I use InUI, which is it's really cool. And I really like what it does with my UI. And it's all boom right there for me. But my favorite mod is Livestock. I have, you know, what, like 110, 120 non-combat pets right now on Molly Shot. And so I like to have different ones come up.
Sure.
But I don't like all of them because I don't need my snakes coming up. So this one.
I didn't know about this mod. I'm going to have to install this.
Yeah. And so it allows you to pick which ones that you want to put into the random rotation. And what will happen is every time you come up, It'll randomly pick one of the set that you've said, pick from this set. So it's really nice. And also it allows you to hotkey a mount.
Oh, cool.
And just push the button and your mount
boom
goes. So yeah, because I only use two mounts. I use my tiger from ZG, mm-hmm, or my purple dragon. Sorry, Stephanie. Yep. That's all right.
I get a feeling that you rolled for that and lost, Stephanie.
Yeah. I wasn't the most popular person in our group for a while. I was probably the least popular person in our group for a while.
But hey, I got to see a drop. That was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we were seriously screaming into the mic when that thing dropped. That was awesome. Absolutely. But yeah, livestock is just so much. It's not essential, but it sounds fun though.
Yeah,
it's fun and it makes managing your pets a cinch.
Cool. Well, thanks for the question, Scott. Oh, what were you going
to
say?
I did think of another one. Because when you said all your pets, that brought to mind alts. I use Altaholic. And what that does is it shows me what my other characters have.
Oh.
Like, let's say I need some leather. I can pull up Altaholic and type in leather, and it will show every single one of my characters if they have it in their bank, if they have it in their bag, if they have it in the mail.
That's awesome.
It works for anything. Cool. So that's how I can tell if I need enchanting mats or tailoring mats or, you know, anything. I can see which one of my toons has it.
That's really cool. And you have a lot of toons, girl.
Yes, I do. And a lot of crafters. So it's really helpful if you're crafting something and maybe, you know, one of your characters picked up an abyss crystal and you need it for an enchant, you know, and, you know, oh my God, they've got it in the bag. So I can.
Yeah, you don't have to spend your money at auction house. That's cool.
Exactly.
I like that.
Very helpful.
Well, thank you so much, Scott, for the question. And when your podcast comes out, let us know. I think it's modcast.com. I went to the website, but we're not ready yet.
Oops.
So Kim, I think you have an email.
Yep. Hey, ladies. I have to say I love your show. Hearing fellow ladies talk about gaming helps burn through my workday. After listening to the segment about video game movies, I got to think about TV shows of that same nature. I love Big Bang Theory. And the guys often talk about current games they're playing, even their retro game night. I love the episode where their neighbor Penny gets addicted to Age of Conan.
Which is so random, by the way.
Well, I think Age of Conan had just come out when that episode aired.
And Age of Conan decided to put some marketing dollars into.
Exactly. If you haven't watched it, I highly recommend it. I also thought about the movie Gamer. At first watch, I thought it was okay. It wasn't my first choice of the theaters, but when it is 2 hours of Gerard Butler, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I totally agree. I have to agree with that. That's probably why I did like that movie, by the way.
Yeah. I think Terpster would agree, too. Thanks for taking my email. Keep up the great podcast, Cassie. Well, thanks, Cassie. And yeah, you're right. That Big Bang episode, my husband just kept looking at me the whole night. And he's like, that's you. That's you. I mean, I think almost anybody who just starts WoW, they totally immerse themselves in it. And it's like, okay, just
it's nothing like they've ever experienced before.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
There's literally no restrictions on what you can do.
Yeah.
You can do anything you want.
Just one more. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, yeah. You know what I related to? The first time I ever experienced chat rooms, like IRC, for instance, I was fascinated that this was a world that I could just talk to people, you know? And it was almost like I just wanted to understand it. So I was just like in there all the time. So anytime there's just something that just almost challenges the way that you think, it's, I think, fascinating.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people are just like, wow. And then you get your fill of it and then you moderate it. And then
mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So,
but Penny never moderated. It was a half hour show, so
gotta fit it all into that half hour. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So we have a couple of iTunes reviews, and in fact, I want to read one in particular because he said on our Facebook fan page, which is at facebook.com/ladies of Leet, he said, "I left you a 5-star review. Can you find it?" And I found it.
What was the challenge?
Yeah. So it's from Canada. So this is from Jim. He says, great overview of all platforms. 5 stars. Great podcast that covers all game systems. Very entertaining with great guests. Terpster episode being the best. I love these girls. If we could, this is what made me laugh. If we could have multiple wives, I'd make them my harem. Aww. We go, aw.
You get offended by that.
I know. So thank you, Jim, for that 5-star review. Awesome. Anytime you do a 5-star review in iTunes, it helps us get a little bit more exposure, and you have our undying gratitude, too. So.
Well, I just wanted to read one from the U.S. side. We did have a few of them. We've got one from S. James, which actually I used to work with that dude.
Oh, really?
Very, very cool guy. Yeah, I've worked with him for like 10 years. Oh, wow. It's been a long time. I don't work with him anymore, but like 10 years ago I worked with him. Bottomo?
See, I'm not the only one that has problem pronouncing
things. Yeah, no. Eric Hebner. And then one by Molson. And
oh, Molson.
Molson, oh, nice.
Molson Method. So he's I really like that podcast. It's short. It's quick.
Yeah,
it's
great daily, tips.
And yeah, he's got some really good insight. He says, gaming from the female perspective and a whole lot more. Join in on great discussions about PC, console, and portable mobile video games. You'll learn a thing or three about gaming, whether you're male or female. Ladies typically scare me, but not these three. A wonderful show that's part of my podcast listening rotation. Make it one of yours and subscribe. Thank you so much. And subscribe to the Molson Method.
Yes.
Seriously,
go like it. It's at MolsonMethod.com, right?
I think so.
Let's hope.
I know you can find, if you just do Molson Method on the search, you'll find it.
And you did a funny intro for him, so I loved that your little bumper that you did for Molson. That was so cute. All right, so we had a long show. We were just talking about trying to keep this into an hour. I don't know about God of War. Just had a lot to talk about.
Yeah. God of War really consumed us. Like, well, it seems like every week we have something that consumes us.
All right. So just a quick reminder that Kim and myself are going to be at Nerdtacular this year. So if you are interested in meeting us, you can go to nerdtacular.com. And Scott Johnson is hosting the event, and it's going to be awesome. We're going to watch a really cool movie, which is Iron Man 2. And there's probably some other fun activities. So nerdtacular.com. It's on May 8th in Salt Lake City, Utah. And Stephanie, you're still trying to?
Maybe? Yeah, I'm still trying to work it out. Yeah. See if I can get there.
We're going to cross our fingers.
Yeah. We'd love to have you there.
So with that, Stephanie, how can they get a hold of us if they want to email us or call us? Or?
Yes, we do have the call-in number.
Yes.
It is 623-252-GAME, G-A-M-E, where you can leave a message. Just try and keep it short, like maybe under.
Yeah, if you don't want to hear me read your email, give us a call.
Obviously, we have our website, ladiesoffleet.com. Mm-hmm. We have the Gmail, ladiesoffleet@gmail.com. We have our Twitter accounts. Oh, we also have the Facebook slash ladiesoffleet. And then we have our Twitter accounts. We have Nicole Spag at Twitter. We have Randy's Molly at Twitter, and myself, XIAXIAN1 at Twitter.
Find all the goodness. And we also have the Ladies of Elite Twitter, which I on occasion, I know everybody that follows me isn't necessarily into gaming, so a lot of times I'll speak through that Ladies of Elite. All right. So, wow, we had a 2-hour show.
Woo.
Wow. We just want to thank you if you've stuck around this long.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
We had a lot of fun, and I hope you did too. And we will be talking with you again in 2 weeks. And I don't necessarily have any games on my calendar. There doesn't seem to be much out, so I might be going back to the well and going and playing some games that I haven't played in a while or missed.
Yes. So, it'll be a surprise.
Yeah.
We may find a hidden gem. Well, besides Borderlands.
Definitely.
Do yourself a favor. That's if what you I'll don't do. Have I'll Borderlands, get some Borderlands.
Yes. So. Yes.
All right. So thank you, ladies, for your time. And this has been a blast. Bye, guys.
It has been a blast. Bye, guys.